ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this August 6th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's sunny, it's hot, but man, we are getting closer and closer to the start of the college football season, and we're talking a lot of that on the show today. No baseball power hour, no Lindsey Crosby. I know, Blame him. He's got like a life and a job and a family and stuff that he's got to take care of today. So just go on social media and blast him if you want to for bailing on us. No, I'm just kidding. He gave me plenty of heads up and he's got some things to do. And so we'll pick back up with him for the baseball power hour next week. But it is Tuesday. And as we have announced and made this permanent moving forward, Christian Griffin, the voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, with me on this Tuesday. My man, good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to be back here in the studio, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, I don't think people really knew that it was you that was missing when I was doing the intro. I feel like I've nailed every single aspect of it.
I should have just let you do it.
They wouldn't have known.
Basically.
I mean, hey, mockery is flattery, so I'm just my biggest role model, so just happy to be here in the shadows of Jacob Goins. Welcome back as well to Auburn,
a
much-needed vacation. I heard you say, well-deserved. I don't know about all that, but needed.
I mean, I left that up to interpretation for anybody that if they feel I did, cool. If not, too bad. I took it anyway.
That's fair, but needed nonetheless.
Very much so.
As you mentioned, we are 17 days from high school football, 18 days from college football.
That stresses me out.
And we are 25 days before Auburn tees off inside Jordan-Hare.
I love it, man. I absolutely love it. Well, talking a lot of that today, want to get some thoughts from fall practice, from you, from me as well, as we continue to get notes and get some viewing windows of that here almost every day this week. There is some recruiting news. No commits, but there's a major shift for a guy that Auburn has been after for quite some time in the 2025 class. We'll talk about that today. We'll get a little bit of baseball talk in there somewhere. We'll make up for Lindsey not being able to join us. And then we got all sorts of things. I know the USA basketball team, the men's team, plays, I believe, in about 30 minutes or so. I think they tip off about 2:30 today. And they are in the elimination rounds now. So I think this is technically like the round of 16 today that they get going in. And some of you may care about that. Some of you may not. We'll give you some updates on it as we go. And of course, whatever you want to talk about today, whatever's on your mind, we want to hear from you. It is you, it's me, and it's Christian for 2 hours on this radio station. So give us a call, be a part of it on the phone line, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. You can call in, be on the line, and be a part of the show. Or you can shoot us a text in the On the Line text box, 334-784-1067, if you want to get comments and questions to us that way as well. And we'll start with just more fall practice notes, Christian, since it's been a couple of days since you've had an opportunity to hop on the airwaves and talk a little bit. And now we're in the full swing of it, right? It's the first full week of practices. It started late last week, Thursday, the first day that I was out. It got everything kind of going. And Hugh Freeze had a press conference. He's got another one coming up, I believe, Friday morning that I will be at. And interested to hear what he has to say there. But as we're getting into the first full week of fall practice, what are some of the things, maybe some storylines that are starting to kind of stick out to you?
Well, I feel like it's been the highlight of Auburn. There's been question marks around it. You have the anticipation, the eagerness of it. But now that you're seeing them, especially with some pads on now, the wide receiver core, I feel like, is the highlight of this offense and of this team.
Which is no surprise.
No, it's not. It's not at all. We saw a video that Auburn posted not too long ago of Perry Thompson making a crazy one-handed over-the-shoulder grab. You're hearing stories about Kayan Lee, who Hugh Freeze mentioned is going to be an NFL cornerback, and him saying that Cam Coleman or Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons are the guys that he's had the most trouble with in camp, and that's such a positive note for Auburn fans because, again, you hear so much about Cam Coleman. You expect him to be one of the day one guys, but there were a little more question marks along the guys that came in over the summer or that didn't necessarily have the five-star plus standing by their name as they entered onto campus. But you're even hearing stories about how Bryce Kane can make an impact his true freshman year, whether that's on special teams or in the slot like a lot of guys expect. Just so many storylines around this Auburn receiving core.
And I'll speak to Perry Thompson because I've seen him a couple of times in person and through a lot of these social media videos. There's been a ton of talk about Cam Coleman's build and how he looks like a college receiver. Perry Thompson, I think, looks like a college receiver right now. He has put on a ton of, for a receiver, respectfully, a lot of weight, a lot of muscle since he got to Auburn. And remember, he has not been here very long. I mean, he was not here in the spring. He had to finish out high school and then get here. But I think he really ramped up his preparation. I think he ramped up his workouts. And man, he may not be to the level of Cam Coleman body-wise, look-wise, but he's going to get there. And he's going to be nasty this year. Like, Perry Thompson looks the part to me.
Oh, he definitely does. Cam Coleman is a little bit lengthier. He's going to be more of the over-the-top guy that can go and beat you on the 50-50 balls. I think Perry Thompson is going to be much more of your physical receiver, just somebody you can throw right at the first down marker and just use those mitts and the strength that he has in his frame to go win a 50-50 ball right at the first down marker and, I mean, lower his shoulder and run somebody over because both of those guys. But when you're speaking about Perry Thompson, does not look anything like a high school receiver. Definitely not somebody that I would want to line up against on a Saturday afternoon.
I was not able to make it to practice today. I'll be back over there tomorrow, but I got a lot of notes and some people were texting me about Sam Jackson, who is better than people are giving him credit for, is what it seems like. The guy's got some speed. He's got some skill sets. And look, Peyton Thorne talked a lot about him at SEC Media Days, talking about how they're roommates, how they're on the same page, their timing is right, they know each other really well, and that's been the general consensus as we stay on the receiver room for a second, is Sam Jackson, the transfer from out west, seems to be making a bigger impact than people are leading on to.
Again, and that's such a compliment to what this coaching staff and Hugh Freeze has done with the receiving core. Again, this was somebody that we watched play against Auburn at the quarterback position last year, but you could just see the raw athleticism, and you know that Peyton Thorne threw to him a couple of years ago, so the chemistry is definitely there. It's really cool to see the word chemistry, the word culture, really, really, I think the highlighting words, other than the gratitude word that Coach Freeze used in the opening press conference, that being the overall term or the word to describe the fall camp. But those two words you're hearing a lot about, and you always do with Auburn, right? You always hear about the family environment, the culture and everything. But it doesn't just seem like it's playing to appease the bystanders or the fans. It truly seems like it is genuine, and it goes so much further than just on the field. It's in the locker room as well.
Did you see the video? I think it was yesterday afternoon or maybe last night that Auburn football posted on social media. It was just asking guys what they're grateful for. It was asking a bunch of players what they're grateful for, what they're thankful for, and so many of them said, of course, their families and things like that, but so many of them talked about each other and mentioned the coaching staff and the opportunity and the chance to be where they are. And I feel like that has not been the case at Auburn in quite some time. I mean, early Gus Malzahn, maybe, where you had a coach who preached how big of a chance this is and how big of a blessing it is to be not just at Auburn, but to be a college football player. And these guys have continued, even through the summer, and the few guys we got to talk with at SEC Media Days, Keldrick Falk was one of these guys who just talked about how this is a fun team to be around. It's a fun group of guys, and they seem to be bought in. I know a lot of people have said the word focused and together. Like, those are really good words to be hearing from the players because, look, you can say it all you want, but it all depends on if you act that way, right? And that goes outside of football. That's just in life. I mean, you can talk a big game all you want, but when showtime comes, or even when people aren't looking, when you're behind closed doors, are you living that way? That's a character thing, right? And it seems like to me that Auburn is embracing that through its head coach and through its coaching staff. Now, whether it's all going to work out, I don't know. We're going to find out in about 25 days. But they're saying the right things. And Christian, to me, it seems like they're doing those right things on the back end. We'll figure out if it plays out coming up soon.
Yeah, it's such a big difference of you hear the thing of you got to walk the walk, but you talk the talk as well. Here at Auburn, we've always been able to talk about the culture and the chemistry of everything, but it has seemed distant. It seemed almost, you don't want to use the word desperate, but you're just trying to cling on to the Auburn family and the culture that's around this team. To be honest, it hasn't been there over the past couple of years, and at least from the players and on the field standpoint as a team as a whole, and that's been reflected by the records of the past couple of years. And again, this is all just the things that you are wanting to hear. That being said, you could hear a lot worse things coming out of coaches' mouths.
Sure.
You could hear a lot of worse things coming out of the guys that are around fall camp, the beat writers and the reporters that are up there covering just about every single thing that they possibly can. You could be looking at a totally different story of, yeah, this is what they're saying. Then all of a sudden, the cameras go away, they walk off the field, and it's a completely different environment. But again, as you mentioned, it's all starting with Coach Hugh Freeze. He talked about it in the opening press conference of how everybody on the staff has worked with him or for him. Mm-hmm. So he feels very comfortable. That's another word that he used a lot throughout the first couple of days, and especially on the press conference, is how he just feels so comfortable with everything at Auburn. Everybody's bought in, and it seems like everything's going in that right direction.
But something that T-Bone and I have talked about in the past is, look, the whole Auburn family and grateful to be at Auburn and we love it on the plains, like, all of that is great. But it has to be backed up. That can't get you through alone, which is what I feel like Gus Malzahn tried to do down the stretch in a lot of his coaching career here. Look, Gus will tell you he loves Auburn, and he loved it during his time. His family was here, and he still has friends here. Like, Gus Malzahn loved this place. But it felt like at the end, and didn't feel like this is the truth, that seemed to be the only thing they relied on rather than, hey, how do we get better on the field? And it showed that that's not good enough to get you through and to compete in the SEC or even compete in this state. And it's nice to see, I hope, that you're having both of those things come together. Of course, Brian Hartson, none of that existed. None of the work was being done. And yeah, and he couldn't even tell you that it was Auburn University instead of it being University of Auburn. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't tell you the difference in those two statements. And so you have a coach now that so far, in a very, very short amount of time, is embracing both sides. The let's love where we are, embrace why we're here, and be grateful for it, but you got to put in the work to have the opportunities and get the results that you're looking for. That seems to be what it's happening here.
Yeah, we talked about it on the latter stages of last week when I was hosting the show about how Auburn's always been able to recruit itself from the standpoint of everything outside of athletics, the campus, the environment, the town, the atmosphere, just the people. And every recruit that comes in, you can tell their quotes are, it feels like home. It feels like that's about every sort of thing. But as you mentioned with Gus Malzahn and his later stages of how it just felt like that's what he was relying on rather than how can we truly get better. It felt like it was, yeah, we'll get the 1-4, maybe the 5-star that Auburn has been the dream school. Mm-hmm. And you know, other than that, we're going to keep what we can do and we'll be okay. In today's college football, you definitely can't survive doing anything to that nature. And so, again, as you mentioned with Hugh Freeze, being able to love where you are, be grateful for where you are, understand that it's going to take a little bit more. He knows that last season didn't go how he wanted as well. He talked about that countless days of how he's ready to move on. He's not talking about last year anymore. And those are the things that you are wanting to hear from a coach who is wanting to make a big step from year one to year two. It's nice to have somebody that has the goals. When he came here, he said, this is the checklist. This is what it's going to look like. And you're seeing it fall into fruition step by step.
And bottom line, when it comes to recruits, they can love a campus and love the people all they want.
But
they want to win.
Yes.
They want to get better and they want to win. That is still the most important thing to them 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And Auburn, they fell out of that. They fell out of that priority, and recruits knew that for a long, long time, especially in this state, something we've been talking a ton about because of the turnaround we've seen, and that's a big reason why. If Auburn can do that, then good things are going to happen. We're just underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. We'll talk about how Auburn may not be ranked in the preseason polls, but they are getting a little bit of love. We'll have that for you when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. Phone lines are open. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. And I mentioned before we went to break, not that Auburn is ranked anywhere in preseason top 25 polls for football, and neither should they be. I mean, they didn't finish the year last year in a good spot, and they're still a lot of question marks from the outside looking in on what this team could be. I think everybody can see the roster's much improved, but there's still a lot to be proved on the field. But the coaches poll came out this week, and again, Auburn is not in the top 25, but I was a little surprised, Christian, to see that Auburn did get some votes. They were recognized a little bit. A couple people voted them to be in the top 25, and they would be ranked in the 30s somewhere if they had gone that far.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I saw somewhere they would have been 32nd or 33rd, which, again, is one of those things that you kind of sit there and you're, okay sure.
Sure.
I mean,
yeah,
it's one of those unproven things that you hope to be able to prove. And, again, I mean, if you take care of business weeks 1, week 2, and week 3 and do it in a manner where you look good, I don't think it would be a shock to see you slide into the top 25 against Arkansas. And then if you take care of business against Arkansas, they're definitely going to want a ranked on ranked game, Auburn and Oklahoma, as Oklahoma
sure
makes their way, the first road conference game in school history in the SEC. So, again, I think if you take care of business, and that's still a big if, but if you can find a way to not take Alabama A&M to halfway in the fourth quarter, or if Cal doesn't look like it did last year and you actually look relatively sound against teams that you need to take care of business against early, I think you could really like where you're at a couple weeks in.
You know, I agree with the premise of what you're saying. I just don't know if Auburn's going to get the love of beating two cupcakes and then Cal before they play Arkansas to get a top 25 recognition. I don't know. I think that depends more. I'll be honest with you. I think that depends more on what happens in front of them of the current top 25 teams versus what Auburn does. If Auburn handles business like you're talking about. Now, if they struggle against any of those teams, then no, they won't be anywhere near it. But if they dominate and handle business, they win those three games by a combined 100-something points, whatever, then yeah, you have a chance. But I think it has a lot more to do with the teams in front of them. And there are some teams that have a chance to drop out. Miami is a 19th, and this is just the coaches poll. It'll be a little bit different,
right?
But Miami, who opens up with Florida in the opening week, and teams like that that have bigger opening games or bigger opening stretches than Auburn does. But I'm with you. If Auburn handles business in the first three games and then handles Arkansas, then yeah, there's a decent chance that the Tigers will be a top 25 team, as you mentioned, when Oklahoma, who will be a top 25 team unless they just stumble along the way, that they want that top 25 matchup inside Jordan Hare. They absolutely do.
Right.
I just don't know if those first three games, even if you dominate them, I don't know if you're going to get the love if you're Auburn to be a top 25 team.
I guess, yeah. If you're throwing that conversation, even with the expectations of what Arkansas is expecting to be this year,
right,
they almost expect that to be another, you don't want to say cakewalk because it's an any given Saturday conference, but there's a couple teams that haven't lived up to that sort of expectation in the SEC. So I can see what you're saying. The ACC rankings did come out as well for the preseason poll. They predicted Cal to finish 10th. Two voters had them finishing atop the ACC, and I think a lot of that is from Jaden Ott, their running back, obviously, who was a preseason All-American. So, again, one of those things to where you don't want to assume any sort of thing, but you really hope you can take care of business against Cal. So I see what you're saying. I think it's more of that Auburn bias of, yeah, sure, we win three straight games because it's been a while since that's happened.
That's understandable.
Win three straight games. There's not many teams that do that early on. So
did I hear you right that said Cal received two votes to win the ACC?
They did. Cal received two. Boston College received one.
Holy smokes.
They're projected 14th. Georgia Tech, who is projected 9th. I think that's a sleeper team. We talked about that. Haynes King is going to be one of the better quarterbacks in the ACC this year. They were projected to finish 9th. SMU 7th. And then, yeah,
Virginia, forget about SMU.
Virginia Tech with 5 first-place votes, and then obviously NC State, Miami, Clemson, and then Florida State, those top 4 teams. But, I mean, it seems like, I mean, even that ACC preseason poll, I mean, there's a couple teams that almost serve the same type of position as Auburn to where it's, hey, they could surprise some people.
I think those Cal votes to carry over the Vanderbilt votes that happened at SEC Media Days, there's no chance somebody actually believes with their credentialed brain that Cal is going to win the ACC. Give me a break.
It's the two people that want to get on their show right after and do the hot take and the breaking news in all caps. I have Cal. Just so that way, if for some reason anything like that happens, they're the name that's attached to it.
That's
and if
ridiculous.
Not, it's it just goes up in smoke and you forget about it.
I want to look at Arkansas for a second. I know we have a few minutes before the break, but that's an Arkansas team. If they're not careful, they could be 1-2 before they come to Jordan Hare because they go at Oklahoma State week 2, which I don't know why you would do that if you're Arkansas, but have fun with that one in Stillwater. And then they welcome UAB to Fayetteville. And I know it's UAB. I get that. But UAB always plays tough, and they're a physical football team. And I know that's a term that gets thrown around a ton this time of year, a physical team, right? But UAB is going to show up and play.
Yeah.
And they expect, I promise you, UAB will have every expectation for themselves to win that football game. That's not like University of Arkansas Pine Bluff that they're playing week 1.
Right.
That's UAB. That's a team that wants to be recognized as a legitimate football program, and they're going to have every expectation to win that game week 3 in Fayetteville.
They definitely are. The new uniforms
are going to look really
sweet. Even looking over at Oklahoma's football schedule, it's not necessarily a cakewalk. Again, you have Temple week 1, then Houston, the Cougars travel to Norman, which, I mean, Houston has been kind of one of those mid-level teams, it feels like, over the past couple years. Then you have
a Big 12 team, by the way.
Right, exactly. And then you have Tulane, the Green
Wave
coming in.
Disgusting. I wouldn't do it.
I mean, that's a tough week 3 group of 5 team that you're having to play. And then Tennessee comes in right before they make the trip to Jordan Hare. So, I mean, again, there's a couple teams that are out in front in Auburn's schedule that you almost hope take care of business just from the standpoint of how that would make an Auburn win that look that much better. Again, if Oklahoma's 4-0 and just knocked off Tennessee, who had preseason favorite votes as well, rather than a 2-2 Oklahoma team and Auburn loses by a field goal or whatever the case may be, I'd much rather see that ranked matchup inside Jordan Hare.
As of right now, according to the coaches poll, that Tennessee-Oklahoma game is a top 20 matchup in Norman week 4. How about that? Before what could be a top 25 game the very next week between Auburn and Oklahoma.
Yeah, and a home game before trying not to get upset. I mean, it could be one of those games that get by you if you're Oklahoma.
We're halfway through hour number one. We've got some recruiting things we need to talk about because there seems to be a shift in one of the major targets for Auburn in 2025. We'll have that coming up for you next here on ESPN.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. He is Christian Griffin, joins me on Tuesday's Voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. I am your man, Jacob Goetz. And we get to the recruiting side of the show because at this point, there always seems to be a recruiting side or a recruiting segment of the show.
Which is a great thing to have.
Oh, man, dude, 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago when I took this show over, we didn't have any recruiting to talk about. We were convincing ourselves, and I was trying, and I believed it at the time. It was, well, this staff is taking quality over quantity, and we were trying to talk about that in a low 4-star.
They're just really trying to get their name the right fit rather than going after the guys they need to get. They just really want to take their time. They're doing everything behind the scenes, right? They're not publicizing a lot of things.
Oh, stop it, dude. Stop it. You're digging into a part of my brain that I have completely blacked out with most of the listeners right now. You could talk about recruiting with us if you want to. 334-321-1390. If you have any questions, you can also text us in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. There was some major movement yesterday, Christian, and there's no commit. There's no announcement. There's no breaking news here in terms of somebody flipping or committing somewhere, but the needle was moved quite a bit when On3 came out and changed their prediction and changed their status on a quarterback in the 2025 class. He's from next door. He's from Mississippi, and he's been committed to a Power 4 program. I guess you consider him Power 4 program since they don't really resonate with the conference. That's okay. He's been committed to a big name program. How about that? For a little bit now, quite some time actually. 6'4", 6'5", depending on where you look, 206 pounds, the number 5 quarterback in the class for 2022, top 35 player in the country. On3 has flipped all of their predictions for Auburn to flip Deuce Knight, the 2025 quarterback from Notre Dame.
And this is somebody that we talked about, Uncle T-Bone and I, of how it was just kind of Auburn became in the conversation as well as Ole Miss. I still have it in my notes where I said, it's not to say that Notre Dame is falling down the pecking order, but it seems like Ole Miss and Auburn are doing everything they can to get him to budge. Well, I think we know who has taken the top spot. I think we can say that. I think Notre Dame has fallen down the pecking order, and maybe the Tyreek Hill, the Deuce celebration, is something that could be coming to Auburn. The 6'5 lefty slinger can make every single throw on the field. He was an Elite 11 Final Four quarterback. Everything that you want in a quarterback, and I think even more so, Hugh Freeze is wanting to get a quarterback locked down, so that way it eliminates any sort of conversation, any stress of who's going to be our guy. We need somebody to come in. If you can go ahead and get him locked on, get him signed with Auburn, I mean, it eliminates so many questions, so many problems that you could face later in the future.
This dude's a beast, man. You just go and watch some of his highlights. He's a Hugh Freeze quarterback. He's a 2020, I guess, he's a this generation quarterback. What I mean by that is he can sling it, like you said. He can make plays, and he just gets after it. I mean, he can run, he can throw, he can elude, he can do whatever he needs to do to make a play happen. I mean, this is not your 2004 quarterback that stands in the pocket and throws it 55 times a game and will never take off. He'll just throw it away if he gets in trouble. That's not where we are in college football anymore. And Deuce Knight fits this narrative really, really well. And To piggyback off of what you were saying, Auburn is looking for a quarterback of the future to pair with all those sexy receivers they keep bringing in from 2024, the ones they have for 2025, which isn't a lot because of the 24 class, but what they're already trying to do in the 2026 class as well. Receivers want to come and play for a quarterback, but quarterbacks want to come and play with receivers.
Again, it's an A-B type situation of how, yeah, as you mentioned, the receivers want to play for a good quarterback. Quarterbacks obviously want to throw to some good receivers. We talked about as well on Friday, Sadarian Morgan, the 2026 receiver from Alexander City. He attends Benjamin Russell. He's the 7th-ranked player in the 2026 class, the 2nd overall receiver. He's a top prospect in the state of Alabama. You tell me, after he was favored for Alabama, went to Big Cat, now Auburn has got a couple crystal balls, but you tell me that a guy like Deuce Knight isn't attractive. Well, you tell me you wouldn't want to line up alongside and catch some passes from him. I mean, it's guys like that. It's a name like that that feels like it brings recruits in with itself.
Yeah, it's that domino effect where it not necessarily a package deal on the front end, but it ends up being a backdoor package deal.
Right.
Because and how many times have we seen that or heard that over the years with not Auburn, but just other schools in particular where it's like, well, I wanted to play with this guy, or this guy really heavily recruited me, or, you know, it was just attractive. I was already thinking about this school, but then he pulled the plug, or I guess in a better way, he jumped on it, right? He took the chance, and so I figured that I could do the same. And, yeah, I think a guy like Sadarian Morgan is absolutely in that category who, you know, you bring in Deuce Knight if this ends up being a thing, if he does end up flipping from Notre Dame, who he's been committed to since September of last year.
Yeah.
You got to keep that in mind. And I think Ole Miss is there too. I'm with you on that. But you bring him in if you do in the 2025 class, which would be that 25 into 26 year. Would he be the starter immediately? I don't know. Maybe or maybe not. I mean, I think Auburn feels pretty good when you look at the current quarterback room as it stands right now and what it's going to be in the future. You still have a Holden Garner in there. You still, as of now, right, you still have a Hank Brown. You still have a Walker White that a lot of people still feel could be one of the future quarterbacks of this football program. And I think Hugh Freeze would absolutely tell you that.
I think he would as well. And again, what a good problem to have that you're having a conversation with an Auburn quarterback room of there could be multiple guys in here that you could trust. When's it been the last time you feel like you could say that about any position group other than running back? And now the fact that it is the guy with the keys to your offense, it's a big time get if you're able to get somebody like Deuce Knight. Again, I mean, talk about what it would do to your class, who has already jumped up to the number 5 spot with the commitment of last week of Jared Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, again, we talked about it in the first segment of how when Hugh Freeze got here, there was a checklist of these are the things that I am wanting to do. And about a month and a half ago, there were some question marks of, is this going to happen? Because we had a couple guys that backed off, and then all of a sudden Big Cat Weekend happened. You hit July, about as hot as it is outside right now. August appears to be you're giving that same heat to everybody, and a top 5 class is not out of question at all anymore. And, I mean, you're looking ahead for, I mean, a possibly top 3 class.
Which is what Hugh Freeze wanted. He wanted in 24 to revive it to get top 10, which he did.
Yeah.
He wanted 2025 to be top 5, which it is right now. And then his sights were set on the number 1 class in 2026.
And guess what?
That's where it is. That's where it is right now. There is a lot of time. Yes, and we will continue to say that until the end of time, and because of today's recruiting world. But I think with the quarterbacks that you look at what Hugh Freeze has brought in, right? You bring in a Walker White. You then have Peyton Thorne, who came in through the transfer portal. And I'm just looking at the rooms in general.
Right.
And if you do land a Deuce Knight for 2025, you have elevated the room. And that says nothing. That's nothing against Peyton Thorne, Walker White, anybody in there that could potentially be a future quarterback here. But Deuce Knight would take your quarterback room to the next level. And he's really good. But guess what? There are also better quarterbacks than him that will probably come down the pipeline at some point. And that's when Hugh Freeze and this team go, and Ken Austin, they go and get that guy and bring it to that elite Heisman Trophy level, kind of like Alabama did, where they transitioned out of the game manager, get it out, get it to your playmakers, and get out of the way quarterback to, oh, okay, let's go get a gunslinger. Let's go get Tua. Let's go get Bryce Young. Let's go get Jalen Hurts. Let's go get those difference maker quarterbacks. And this could be a hot take, but Auburn has been very hit or miss when it comes to difference maker quarterbacks in, I don't know, the last 20 years.
Yeah, no, I would definitely.
There's been some, but there have been not some, too.
Again, yeah, hit or miss, the definition of, you're covering your eyes and you're trying to hit a bullseye. Every once in a while you might, but you've also missed the board quite a few times as well. Deuce Knight is one of those guys. You mentioned how the old school Alabama, that pro offense of the definition of a game manager. Yeah, I'll go 14 of 19 every game if I need to, but I'm going to hand the ball off 37 times a game and just
read
the offense down the field. I'm going to eliminate turnovers. And now all of a sudden, a position which we have seen throughout all of college football take a drastic change of how it used to be the game manager. You wanted your smartest guy being the quarterback position to take care of the ball, move the ball down the field, make the smart throws, play situational football. Now all of a sudden, that quarterback position becomes the star player. You are the guy, you're arguably the most talented guy on the field, and I think that's something that Deuce Knight could bring to an Auburn offense.
Yeah, Alabama didn't come up with that. They just adjusted with the times.
Right.
I mean, that was one of the major adjustments that Nick Saban made in Tuscaloosa that made him one of the greatest of all time, because he got away from what he was comfortable with.
He hated the no-huddle.
Yeah.
And all
he
of
got
sudden,
away from the Greg McElroys and the A.J. McCarrons and those types of players who were great, and they were good at what they did. And he was like, well, all right, times are changing. Here we go. We'll make the adjustment too. And that's what made them great. Auburn's just trying to, I don't want to say catch up, but kind of. I mean, because they've had guys, obviously, the difference maker quarterbacks like the Nick Marshalls, who, again, as a quarterback, wasn't crazy. He was just really good. He played his part extremely well.
Again, one of, if not the most talented guys, athletic guys on the field. And again, you have to just have that first guy with Hugh Freeze. If Peyton Thorne can do it this year to where you play that RPO to perfection and you're able to move the ball down the field to where you're not just a game manager, where Peyton Thorne can use his legs in the offense like he did last year, but make it to where he has a much better year throwing the ball with those types of receivers, quarterbacks can then look at Thorne's stat line, look at the way the offense moved, and say, yeah, I can play in something like that. Let me bring my flavor onto it a little bit, if you will. But when you've had the hit or miss, it makes it a lot more difficult to find the consistency in everything. And that's why you mentioned the Alabama quarterbacks, because one can just sort of fill in the shoes of the other guy and bring their own little bit to it. But you still see that success. If Auburn can get someone, I mean, like Deuce Knight, or you have Peyton Thorne, and then you have Walker White in the next coming years, and you get Deuce Knight, just somebody that can continue to make those right impressions on the field, get it to where you can get that pipeline of quarterbacks to where it can take a position group that you've had, the hit or miss you've talked about, into a for sure strength for the future.
Which makes it, I'm not going to say easy, but it makes it easier to recruit quarterbacks. Because, yeah, Alabama had they adjusted, and when they caught up with the times at the quarterback spot, the system was plug and play, but they went and found an elite five-star and, like you said, kind of put their own spin on it, and they were great. I mean, they started winning Heisman trophies, which they never did at the quarterback spot.
And then their receiver did.
Yeah, literally. And then they got the receivers to come along with it. So you can see how all this comes together. Auburn's just trying to get to that point, and Deuce Knight could absolutely be that guy. He is not committed. There's no news there. But the feeling is that Auburn is starting to make some serious waves with the Notre Dame quarterback commit. He is in the 2025 class, and this has been such a wild train to watch Auburn in the 2025 quarterback recruiting saga. And we can talk about that when we come back from break and kind of wrap up the hour with where we've been and kind of where we are and where we're going with the whole quarterback thing for Auburn at 25 and beyond, because there's been some big names, some big stories, and just trying to sort out all that out. We'll have that for you when we come back, and we'll wrap up hour number one. You can be a part of this conversation, 334-321-1390. We'll wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And we've been talking recruiting for Auburn football with the change of heart, maybe, with some of the recruiting services in terms of Auburn trying to land the 2025 quarterback Deuce Knight. And, you know, this is a name that popped up a little while ago, right? I mean, I don't know, a month or so, maybe a little bit more. The month of July flew by, and so maybe over the summer, we'll say, this name really started to get on the radar of Auburn. But, Christian, you remember back in the spring, I mean, we were having serious conversations about the USC commit, Julian Lewis, and that for certain reasons has fallen through, and Auburn kind of moved on from that, and seems like Lewis moved on as well, and that's fine, that's how it goes. But I mean, Auburn's going after the big ones, they're going after one of those big name quarterbacks, and you feel pretty good about them landing somebody, right? There's another one, KJ Lacy, the Texas commit as well, that's been one that's been floating around as well. So it's at least, and this goes to what we were saying just a second ago, but it's nice to see Auburn getting in the door and trying to go get one of these big name quarterbacks.
Yeah, this was again something that we brought up last week of how it's nice and it's relieving in a some sort of aspect that even if Auburn doesn't win every single battle that they're in, it feels like they're in more battles than they're not. And even if you do find a way to drop somebody or they kind of take you off their radar, even just the fact that, again, your name was in the legitimate conversation, it's relieving to some sort of aspect, because I feel like it's been forever since we've legitimately been able to have somebody attached to one of the top recruits in the country, other than somebody that was just dead set on going to Auburn since they were out the womb of their mother. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it brings in so many different feelings, but one of those feelings, it feels like relief, because it shows that the coaches are doing what they need to do.
Well, it's seeing Auburn go in and win a recruiting battle.
Yeah.
Not just land the commit, but win the commitment. Take it from somebody else. Do the thing that everybody else did to Auburn for a decade plus, right? Where, you know, and I've had this conversation on this show before. My listeners know this. I like the fact that this staff, whether it's Hugh Freeze or any of the assistant coaches, they're not afraid to go after somebody that's already committed somewhere else. They don't care. They're ruthless.
You can't anymore, and that's such it's such a weird thing to be able to say. But
for this staff, it's a luxury,
right? Exactly, because of everything that you're given with Auburn. Again, with what we talked about earlier of how Auburn recruits itself from the standpoint of not including any sort of athletics. Then all of a sudden, you put together a couple good years and it just seems like everything is going to flourish. And again, the coaching staff can't give them enough credit. Again, just being in the conversation and not only having, I say being in the conversation, even if you don't win, but that's not the coach's mentality. The coach's mentality is we're going to get in here and we're going to win this recruiting battle. And obviously, you're not going to be able to win them all, but rather than having any sort of passive mindset of, dang it, we tried. It's no, we're going to go out and we're going to get who we want.
Yeah. It's not a, well, too bad. Yeah. Too bad. So sad. I guess we didn't get him. We'll move on. No, they're staying. And that's one thing that's been very consistent from what I've heard recruits say, that when they've talked to guys like Christian Clemente, our buddy at 247, and hearing and seeing these quotes is, yeah, I may be committed to Ohio State or Washington or whatever the case may be, But Auburn is still talking to me. I get a text from Coach Freeze every day, or I get a text from Kenon every day, or whoever the case. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, they get contacted all the time. And Auburn, they're ruthless, man. They don't give up. And I'm sure it gets annoying at times. I'm sure it's not a pestering, but it's pretty close to it, but in a good way.
It is. That's definitely a good way. Alvin Henderson's been the most vocal about things like that, of how he was every single day at Penn State, you know, even while he was committed, he was still having phone calls and talking with all the guys up at Auburn, and how he just said it just felt like it was the right thing to do. He couldn't leave the guys that he felt like cared about him so much, and that's why social media can play a positive and a negative factor with these recruiting things. That's what we've talked about. Uncle T-Bone talked about it on Friday as well, of how even if it's somebody that you don't win the freshman year signee, say he moves across the country, doesn't have the year that he wants, gets a little homesick. Oh, let's look up my phone. Oh, remember those Auburn guys? Yeah, let's give them another look.
Recruiting, man. What a world it is. And how it's changed in the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, however many, man. It's a different world out there, and Auburn is taking advantage of it. Hour number one is in the books. We'll talk a little baseball coming up in hour two. Need some basketball conversation in our lives as well. And anything else that's on your mind that you want to talk about, give us a call. 334-321-1390. Hour number two coming up.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two on ESPN 106.7. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch it with the podcast. You'll find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. It's just the show put on the website for you. You can go check it out after each show. If you missed any segments or interviews or anything like that from each show. We did not, unfortunately, have Lindsey Crosby for our Baseball Power Hour. I need to get like a boo hotkey to play, you know, like the crowd booing or something. Yeah, that one, or the something like that. No, we did not. He was unable to be with us today, but he will pick back up next week. And so it was me and Christian. We had a good football conversation, just some more notes from fall practice, some recruiting things, Auburn getting a little bit of love in preseason rankings, things like that. So if you missed any of that from the first hour, you can go and listen at ESPNAU.com. Of course, that's where you can listen to the show live each and every day if you're not driving around in your car on ESPN 106.7, and you can also listen on our Radio Alabama app. That's our parent company out of Sylacauga, so be sure that you download that. We merged all of our station apps into one friendly app for you. Radio Alabama, just search that on your App Store, Google Play, wherever that you can. We'll have some basketball here that we're going to start with in hour number two. Also, some baseball updates, and then anything else that we can get to or anything else that you want to talk about, we can, and we'd love to hear from you on the Tuesday edition of the show. You could call in at 334-321-1390. The number again, 334-321-1390. Or you could shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. Want to remind you that hour number two each and every day here during On the Line is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them bringing you the second hour each and every day from 3 to 4 here on ESPN 106.7. Uncle T-Bone and I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but Christian, I want to get your thoughts on Auburn basketball's non-conference schedule, which has been deemed by John Rothstein as the hardest non-conference schedule in Auburn basketball history, and I don't see how it's not the hardest one in the entire country.
It definitely is. You even heard Bruce Pearl. He quoted it saying, "We're going to have the toughest non-conference schedule that we've ever had." Jack and I actually talked a little bit about this, and just going through everything as soon as the Houston game went official. I mean, the non-conference games are absolutely insane. November 9th against Houston in the Toyota Center, the home of the Houston Rockets, at Duke in the SEC ACC Challenge on December 4th. Now Ohio State on December 14th in Atlanta versus Purdue in the Legacy Arena in Birmingham on December 21st. And that's not including the Maui Invitational, where Auburn will play three teams of Colorado, Dayton, Iowa State, Memphis, Michigan State, North Carolina, and UConn. And again, we talked about it. Even if you played the bottom three teams, which is an insult to even say the bottom three teams in the Maui Invitational, it would be Colorado, who was a 10 seed last year that knocked off Boise State in the first four, and Florida in overtime, and then took Marquette to the buzzer. Dayton, the 7th seed.
Flyers, baby!
I was
going to
say, the
Go Dayton Flyers.
The show's close second team when it comes to basketball.
Heck yeah, it is.
They were the 7th seed last year.
Don't you forget it.
They were a second round exit, but I won't have to say that again. And then Memphis, who, reminder, beat Auburn by 9 in Holiday Hoops 2 years ago with Penny Hardaway as their head coach. And if you're any sort of basketball fan, you know what that last name means in the sport. And so, I mean, just a conference schedule that is brutal enough. Now you're averaging, or you're adding every single one of those non-conference games. This tells me, and I want your opinion on it as well, it tells me that Coach Pearl feels as if, A, this is needed for his team, and B, it tells me that he thinks his team is ready. I had a little bit of a hot take where I said it feels like a few years ago, or through a couple teams of those past couple years, Bruce knows that early on, at least, 5-on-5, you can't match up with a couple of the big dogs. You can't match up with the Goliath. So instead, you took a little bit of a less demanding non-conference schedule just so that way you're still playing those mid-major D1 teams that can make their way as a 12 seed or a 9 seed into the tournament. But to try and buff your schedule up a little bit, give you 3 or 4 more additional wins to carry you through and get you into the postseason tournament. You're looking at it now to where, I mean, you could have 5 or 6 losses, if not even more, before you even hit conference play, and to where the average Auburn basketball fan will lose its mind because of it, but you're going to be much more prepared for the season ahead.
Which is what I think we need. I think Auburn needs that going into this year, and this team in particular, because you said it, I think he trusts this team to get better because of it. He wants them to be battle tested and be ready because, and I think T-Bone and I talked about this yesterday, where you look at some of these teams and their end of season performance, it showed that they were not proven and ready throughout the entire season. Yes, we know that, and especially in the last 5 years, you are going to get tested in the SEC in college basketball nowadays. It's not the conference it was 15 years ago when Kentucky ran it every single year and then Vanderbilt would have a random year or Florida would have a random year. That's not the case anymore. You have a conference that's putting 8 to 10 teams in the NCAA tournament every single year. And so you know, and Bruce Pearl and all the other coaches around the league, they know, okay, when we get to January, those 2.5 months, they're going to be a grind. We're going to find out who we are in those months. Yeah. But guess what? That's not where you identify who you are. That's not where your team becomes who they're going to be. That's not where you improve the most, because that's the wrong time to do it, Christian. It is. That's the worst time, other than the tournament, to try to figure out who you are and get better as a team. That's what November and December is about.
Well, that's what we saw with the Auburn team a couple years ago when they hit the number one seed. They found who their identity was late November, throughout December, and then early January. Then all of a sudden, those teams started figuring out, hey, This is one of their three game plans, and Auburn didn't have any sort of answer to it, but you loved where you were at because you got the top seed in the league. You felt like everything was going great, but you weren't really battle-tested. And again, even you think about the team this past year, yes, they were battle-tested, but where they won so many games by double digits, and all of a sudden you saw in March where they played a team that had the composure of, hey, we're down by four, but we're okay. We're going to figure everything out. And Auburn kind of crumbled in their game against Yale, you can say it like it is. To be able to be battle-tested early on and get it to where, yeah, you might not start out as the hottest team in college basketball, but when that late February, early March, you're playing the final 7-8 games and you finally feel like you're getting on a little bit of a roll, even if Auburn is to be, I mean, you could say they dropped to a 7 seed or an 8 seed in the tournament, but that's after winning 8 of their last 9, making it to the conference championship in Nashville. That's a team, an 8 seed, that you would not want to play.
I'm with you, but I even think that Auburn is going to be higher than an 8 seed in a good way. I think that they, I mean, I think, let me ask you this. What does a successful, and I know it's really early. I mean, it's August. It's the first week of August. But given this roster, all right, the J.P. Pegues coming back, Denver Jones coming back, Jani Broom, who has been deemed the best center in America right now, coming back for Auburn, on top of your Tahad Pettifords of the world and those types of players. Right now in August, what does a successful season look like in terms of an NCAA tournament bid? What seed would be okay right now, before a single game is even played, before practice even starts? What's a good seed line for Auburn right now?
I feel like given this non-conference schedule, not that you would want to be that 7 or 8 seed. I feel like that would be the backside of things if everything had gone wrong earlier in the year.
A floor, if you will.
Right. I think you would happily sit at that 3 or 4 spot again this year. I think the 1 or 2 spot is attainable if everything were to go as you were expecting to be the ceiling side of things. But anywhere in that 2 to 4, 2 to 5 range, I think you would be okay with, because then you're getting that 12 seed or the 13 seed to where you feel like you can win round one, you play a tough game in round two. But again, if you can get it to where at that point in the season you are playing your best basketball, even if it's a 5 seed for Auburn, there's nobody that's going to want to play a team that like Auburn. That's a, I mean, again, the 5 seed.
Let me answer my own question, and I think I speak for most Auburn fans. I don't think it matters at the end of the day what seed you are, because we, in the last handful of years under Bruce Pearl, we've seen this Auburn team be a number of different seeds in the NCAA tournament. They just want to win. They just want to see you win games and actually make another run in the NCAA tournament, because since the Final Four, it hasn't happened. You had a year where you had a postseason ban, right? You got blown out by Miami with two guys who play in the NBA now on your roster. You get Houston on the ropes, and you slip at the end and have a chance, because that team was good. That was a good Auburn team. And then last year, you, to be plain and simple, you get embarrassed by Yale. And so for a successful season, I don't care if Auburn's a 10 seed in the tournament. Make a run. Yeah. Go get to the Elite Eight. I think that is where Auburn fans feel this program should be, given what this roster is, what this coach has done, and what's happening on the other side of the state. That has become the new standard for Auburn basketball.
You beat me to it. I was going to say something very, very similar along those lines of how it's not necessarily the seeding that matters, rather than where you find yourself come very late March or even early April, because you saw what this Alabama team did in their non-conference schedule last year. You saw how that shaped them to make the Final Four run, which is, quite frankly, the only thing that you've been able to hold above their head in the state of basketball. Now you both have a Final Four appearance. That has to become the new expectation for this Auburn team, because again, you cannot continue to live under any sort of little brother terminology or anything like that. So I think you're giving yourself that tough non-conference schedule to prepare yourself and kind of form a similar season to what Alabama did last year.
Look at this roster for Auburn, because I want to remind fans what is on this. I mentioned a lot of those names a few minutes ago, but your excited freshmen of Tahad Pettifer, Ja'Kai Howard. I mean, those guys are beasts. They're going to be really, really good. How much playing time will they get this year? I don't know. We're going to find out. I've heard good things, and I think they are going to have a chance to see the floor a little bit this year. But you bring in J.P. Pegues. You bring back Denver Jones, Jani Broome, Chad Baker-Mazzara. You bring Dylan Cardwell and Chaney Johnson. I mean, you're bringing back legitimate starters on this team. And Auburn's starting five will be one of the oldest in college basketball. Alabama's going to be the same way. I mean, those two rosters are legit, but you also have so many young guys that the future of this program is going to be good. But I've been quoted as saying it numerous times, this is not just Bruce Pearl's best Auburn roster or best roster at Auburn. I think in his entire coaching, head coaching career, I think this is the best roster that Bruce Pearl's ever had. And I've gotten some flack for saying this because we've hyped up Auburn's roster before for basketball. We have, because they've been good. Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler, that roster was ridiculous. Last year's roster was good. Like, this team has been good. They've just underperformed. This team, that's why I'm setting the expectations so high.
And I feel like you have to. Again, the name that still stands out to me other than the other highlighted guys is Denver Jones. We saw what he was able to do on the back half of the year and how Bruce Pearl even mentioned things of how it took him a while for us to – or it took us a while to figure out the way that that offense needs to revolve around him and how he needs to be able to be a much bigger part of the offense, and we saw it in the later stages of the year. Having somebody like that that's returning, your top three-point shooter, who has the persona and has the ability to go out and win you a game shooting the ball if he needs to. Somebody like that that, again, you complement with Ja'Nai Broome, you complement with a Tahad Pettiford, take a little bit of the pressure off the freshman, don't make him dribble the ball up, you know, 84 feet every single time. Allow him to play off the ball and get open, get to his spots. Allow this team, it just feels like it complements themselves in so many different aspects of the game to where you don't want to say that this team doesn't have a weakness, but because, again, with that non-conference schedule, other teams are going to find the weakness.
Exactly.
But you're hoping that that non-conference schedule, you'll be able to get exposed a little bit to where, again, come late February, throughout March, and then early April,
you've patched that hole.
You've patched it, and you've found a way to turn a weakness into a strength.
I love it, man. This team has a lot of potential to just be fun, man. I mean, I think this team could be really, really fun to watch in all aspects of the game. Defensively, which we know Bruce Pearl is going to have them playing lights out defensively. Alley-oops, three-point shooting. I mean, the whole nine, y'all. I mean, this is going to be a fun, fun team to watch. And I said it once, and I'll say it again. We're not wishing away football season by any means. But this is going to be a really, really fun Auburn basketball season. We'll take our first break here in hour number two. We got to get some baseball talk in. Even if we didn't have our true baseball power hour, we'll give you a little bit of taste of what's going on around the major leagues. We'll have that for you when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, as our studio seems to be infiltrated a little bit, but that's okay. You know, you never know who's going to pop in to the studio. And no, I'm not turning your microphone on.
Hello.
Hello, Claire.
How
are you?
This is my debut.
It is your debut. Your on-the-line debut. I've sent the invitation a few times, but, you know, I guess the show's not good enough. You're good enough to go on Auburn Opelika this morning, but
I have not. I went on there one time.
It's more than you've been on here.
Not anymore.
That is the voice of Claire as she walks out. No, I'm just kidding. That's Claire Hodges. She is our promotions director, social media director.
Keep going.
You're going to have to help me out.
The person that makes this place run, besides Steve and you.
I thought that was Tracy's job.
That is Tracy's job.
I mean, Tracy, yeah.
Tracy is above everybody else.
That's true.
Other than that, yeah. So we're talking a lot of sports. I know you're a big, big, big sports fan. Your thoughts on Auburn's 2025 recruiting class. Can you tell me your favorite recruit and why?
I'm good.
The mic turned off for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't,
yeah. And she just bolted out of the room.
She said Deuce Knight. So I don't know if y'all heard. So.
Whoa, do you know something we don't know?
Maybe.
Wow. Breaking news on the show with Claire. Okay. All right.
Sources,
well,
trust me, bro.
No, you were a softball player, right?
I was, if that's what you want to call it.
I mean, you were on the team, right?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah. Team captain.
Team captain.
Yeah.
Not team manager. You were team captain.
I was captain. Hey now.
Plus or minus 3 games that you started?
Plus.
Okay. Well, you acted like you didn't play.
I was the pitcher. One of them.
Oh.
So I did have quite a few starts.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Believe it or not.
All right. Your thoughts on Auburn softball. This is a perfect topic. Co-head coaches for Auburn University softball. How would you have felt if you had played for a team that had co-head coaches?
That's a really interesting dynamic. I don't know that I would like it.
Why not?
Because who do you listen to? Which one?
Yeah.
Well, the hope is that they're on the same page.
And have the same message.
That's the hope.
It's the husband and wife. But again, that is the hope.
I will say, though, Kate and Chris Malvo, who were hired as Auburn University softball's co-head coaches, she did say that Chris would be the one to, I guess, call the shots.
Right, like a 1A and 1B?
Kind of, yeah. And this has happened historically, Claire. This is not the first time this has happened. Tennessee has historically done this, which they coached under that staff. But
how did they go for them?
Hall of Famers. So,
oh.
Yeah. So Auburn's trying to do the same thing. But it really is interesting because this was a huge coaching search for a while for Auburn softball, trying to find their new head coaches and then or new head coach, and then they settled on two of them. And I really liked the message that Kate had, where she said, "We're not going to focus on why it can't work. We're going to focus on why it can." And I think that's really, really interesting.
That's a good way to look at it.
Okay, so you wouldn't have liked it though. That's good to know. I'll let them know.
No, thank you.
I'll let them know when they get on here that you would not have been a fan of two head coaches, but you wish them the best of luck, huh?
I do.
Okay.
Truly.
Hey, while you're here, this is another good topic. Tell everybody what's happening tonight if they want to go and hang out and come and see all of our wonderful radio stations of Auburn Network. Since you put this, you put this together. You're in charge of this. So.
Yeah, we'll be at National Night Out.
Yes, you got to tell people what that is.
You got it.
As far as I understand, it is National Night Out, where it's basically celebrating the kickoff going back to school. Is that right? Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, and celebrating the first responders in the area and all they do for the community.
Beautiful.
So,
well, there's going to be like 30 vendors, I think. It's going to be at the
31 plus us.
Oh, okay. Well, 30 plus then. How about that? At the soccer fields back behind Duck Sanford Stadium, you can come and check that out. We will be there blasting music out of our wonderful Kia station vehicle. You can come and get a free t-shirt. Come and get a koozie if you want to. Do we have a new prize, Will?
Yeah, we do.
We have a new one?
Yep.
Wow. All right. Well, the last one broke at Cheers on the corner. Mm. So that happens when we
have. It was well loved. It's okay.
It had a really good life of about 8 months.
And then it's a lot of spins.
Yeah, it's a lot of spins because we end up going Cheers on the Corner. We go to Summer Night Art Walk, Burger Wars. We have all sorts of stuff that we go to. And so you can come and check that out. I think it's free to attend, I'm pretty sure.
It is, yes.
They're going to be having a massive cookout. There's going to be a ton of vendors there. So come and check that out. You can come meet the one and only Claire. The one and only Claire.
The only one.
Yeah, and making her debut on the show. All right, we got to move on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks
it's
for
an honor.
Thanks.
Yay!
Where's that? Dang, this is where we needed the boo hotkey. Oh man, I'm gonna get that on there one of these years. Thank you, Claire. Appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on. All right, Christian, I got to hand this off to you. You got any baseball news that we can talk about or dive into? I hope you got something because good luck. Good luck transitioning.
I mean, I don't know how to follow a segment like that. Before we do, we were on the basketball topic of conversation. The United States playing Brazil in the men's quarterfinal lead 63-36 at halftime. Oh. It was close about halfway through the first
quarter. That was like a 10-point game for a while.
It was, but USA outscored Brazil 30-15 in the second quarter. Joel Embiid leads the way with 14 points on 5 of 6 shooting, 3
Good
of 3
him.
From downtown. LeBron James, 10 points, perfect from the field, 4 of 4, 2 of 2 from the free throw line, leads the way with 8 assists. The United States, 23 of 39 from the field, 59%, 6 of 12 from deep, 23 made baskets, 19 assists. So it feels okay. Like maybe a little bit of chemistry, a little bit of synchronization on the court is finally coming up.
Well, this, a reminder, this is for the United States. This is the elimination rounds.
Yeah.
And so this is, I mean, it's literally, it's do or die right now. It's make or break for the United States. And just an update on the Olympic medal count. I'm going to have that pulled up because there for a while, the United States was on top of the overall medals, but China had a pretty decent lead in the gold medals over there in Paris.
Yeah, and it's tied now with the gold medals, I believe, at 19 apiece.
I think it's been updated since then, since it's been going on all day. The United States has pulled ahead. All right, they've pulled ahead. Still have a major lead in the overall medal count. 86 is their total. The next best is China with 58. So the United States has almost a 30 medal lead over China, but the U.S. has pulled ahead in the gold medals by 2. They have 24 to China's 22.
And a shout out to one of Auburn's beloved, Suni Lee,
yes,
has one of those gold medals as well as 2 of her bronze medals as well. So a big time shout out to her. We can say that she is the reason that the United States is winning the gold medals.
I mean, and the overall medals, since she has a lot of them now. It was so much fun watching her and the entire gymnastics team for the United States. I mean, they're just so good. And you had the all-around, you had the team all-arounds, right? You had the individual events. Suni was in a couple of those. Simone Biles was in a couple of those. U.S., I feel like in the swimming side of things, sort of struggled, especially on the men's side. I think the women had a lot of medals, but the men's side wasn't as dominant as it has been. You've got track and field that's ongoing right now, which that's pretty dominant for the U.S., which is cool to watch. But other than that, Olympics continue to roll on. We will, I think, get into baseball conversation when we come back. We'll try. We'll have something prepared for you when we come back. 30 more minutes. If you're still here, we appreciate it here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We appreciate you all being with us here on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's get to the phone lines here on the show today, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line, man. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Jacob, Christian, how y'all doing today?
We're
good,
doing
man.
Good, Terry.
Fantastic. I tuned in kind of late. Was there any kind of recruiting news there or something? I tuned in by the time you guys were talking about it.
Not anything official. There's no commitments or anything like that. The thing that got people stirred up yesterday evening was On3 coming out and changing their predictions for Deuce Knight, the 2025 quarterback, who is currently committed to Notre Dame, that Auburn has really turned up the heat on, and On3 believes that he will flip and end up being an Auburn Tiger.
It's funny you say that, Jacob. A friend of mine called me last night, told me, made me aware of an article in Sports Illustrated about him possibly flipping from Notre Dame to Auburn.
Well, I think that's been a growing consensus. That's been a growing trend that people feel Auburn is going in the right direction, especially since they kind of backed off and moved on from Juju. They have turned their attention to what it seems to be with Deuce Knight.
Right. And you guys are talking a little bit about basketball season coming up.
Yes.
Now, I don't really care where Auburn is seated. I think they're about a 4 or 5 cents on me, but I want them a better showing in the big tournament and the dance.
Yeah.
I'm tired of these one and duns or maybe two and duns the most. I'm sick of this. They're better than that.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I don't care if they're a 10 seed. I just want them to win some games and make a run other than the round of 32 or, you know, getting beat by Yale in the first round. I mean, I don't care if you're a 1 seed, 10 seed, 16 seed. Just make a run, win some games because the roster is too talented to not be winning games.
Yeah, and you expect close games in the tournament, let's be honest. I mean, Auburn's closest game in their Final Four run was the first game.
Yeah.
If you told me they were going to beat Kentucky and North Carolina and who was it, Kansas, I would have believed it.
Yeah, yeah, but guess what? That's what you have to do. Like, that's what the tournament's about. You wipe out everything that you know from the regular season, and you've got to go on a 6-game winning streak, and you're going to play teams that you have never seen before, and you've got to find a way to overcome it.
I've got a better brother. That's all I'm asking for. Now, that's a lot to ask for. I realize that. But, so seeding is not that important to me because, you know, if you get in 5 or 4, 5, 6, 8, whatever, you just a better showing in the tournament. It's what's got to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think most Auburn fans would agree with that, Terry.
Yeah. Appreciate
well, and it's crazy, too.
Yep, thanks so much, Terry. You too.
Thank you, Mr. Terry. You talk about it. It's a big expectation. Is it? Should it be a big expectation for Auburn to not go one and done in the tournament?
I mean, I would be willing to say that Bruce Pearl has set up and established that expectation to be higher than the results that are being delivered. I don't know if that's the best way to say that. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, Auburn fans expect a run. They expect to be playing into the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, which – If Auburn wants to pump their chest and Auburn fans want to pump their chest and say that they're one of the new bloods, we're one of the new bloods, the new kids on the block, we should be respected as a basketball program. If we want to claim to be a basketball school when our football team was down, then, yeah, you've got to put the results to back it up. And results in March are what matters.
Yeah.
That's what matters. That's what every player, every coach, every program is judged on in their entire career of college basketball. Did you win in March? That's it. I mean, nope. Nobody cares who you beat in November.
Yeah, I was going to say the regular season, I mean, this year it might be with something to where you feel a little bit better going into it because of the teams that you've played and you faced in November and December, but again, it's one of those things where, yeah, nobody cares what you did in the regular season. That's why it's the regular season. Then all of a sudden you hit postseason, you have to wipe your slate clean, and it's, hey, let's go win 9 or 10 straight games, and you got to – I mean, that has to be the mentality.
And as much as I love to see Auburn win regular season SEC championships or even SEC tournament championships, again, I go back to this of how many times do you look back in the past and say – man, remember when this team won the Big East regular season championship? Man, what a great year that was in 2009. Or, oh, do you remember when tournaments are a little bit different than regular season, but the argument still stands. People want to see national titles in college basketball. That's what they want to see. They want to see you win in the big dance. SEC tournaments are different because those have a little bit, and conference tournaments, because they have a little bit more drama. They have the buzzer beaters and the runs and the Cinderellas and things like that. But I don't know, man. At the end of the day, I'll trade in all of the regular season and conference championships that any team wants to have, and I'll take national titles or at least Final Fours and opportunities to win over anything. And the greatest example of that is John Calipari at Kentucky. Think about all of the conference championships they won when he was there. I mean, year after year. Now, the end of his tenure, yeah, it fizzled out because the SEC caught up, but especially early. Like, remember, I say this with, I guess, I know what I'm about to say. He only has the one national championship, which is still more than a lot of people, but that was 14 years ago. Like, he's got a lot more conference championships than he does national titles, and yeah, that's why he's no longer the head coach at Kentucky.
Well, and then, again, making a very quick transition to baseball, that's why, I mean, the Braves have won five straight NL East titles, but it feels like that's getting watered down because the Braves won the World Series in 2021 and then have gotten knocked out by the Phillies the past 2 years. So it's one of those things to where Yeah, Braves can win all they want in the regular season. Then all of a sudden you're playing your NL East rival, and you've gotten curb stomped the past 2 years. And now nobody really – I mean, yes, you can hold the World Series ring, but other than that, those – the division titles – don't really mean anything anymore.
Well, the longer, the farther you get away from that major championship, that big championship win, the less value that it has when you make an argument for a team's success and longevity. Does that make sense what I'm saying there? Like, you're always a champion. Always. You can never take that away. I don't care if you won it in 2023 or you won it back in 1918. You're always a champion. But you can't pump your chest and say, hey, we're the champions of 1964. You have to respect us because of, you know, our program's fantastic. Well, not necessarily, because what have you done? It's the recency bias.
Right, 100%.
That's a legitimate thing in sports. Oh. I don't care what it is. I mean, recency bias exists.
Even before the past couple of years with Georgia and the national championships in football. It's one of those things to where – yeah, Georgia is a great team with Mark Richt. You'd expect them to win 8, 9, maybe 10 games every year. But what have you done since 1980? Now, all of a sudden, they're one of the most respected teams, deservingly so, in the college football landscape because they've won back-to-back national championships in the past 3 years. So you're looking to go 3 of 4 this year. Like, it's the recency bias that you talk of, and I mean, not that you want to feel like Auburn is swaying away from that, but in the new day and age, it feels like 2010 was forever ago with Auburn. And again, there's only been 8 teams that have played and won since then, so you're still in that conversation, which is a great conversation to have. But you sprinkle in a couple good years here and there with Auburn football, and it feels like the recency bias is starting to weigh dividends on that as well.
Heck, that circles back to what we had in the first hour, just Auburn football with it being, you know, being Auburn and just a, you know, a tradition program and things like that. I mean, that can only carry you so far.
Yeah.
They can only take you so far. I'm sorry.
And before I head out, I'm about to have
I know you got
to go. We'll throw some baseball stuff at you. 480-foot home run from Jesus Sanchez last night.
480,
longest
boy.
Longest of the season.
How about that?
And again, this is why Lindsey Crosby would have been great to have this. The White Sox.
Yeah, did you hear that, Lindsey?
boo, there's the hot key again.
Yeah, I'm going to put that in there today.
White Sox with 21 straight losses.
Dude, it's
impressive.
It's
not impressively good, but it's impressive.
Remind me what the record is. 24, 25, something like that. They're close. They're close. I forget exactly what it is, but they're flirting with it right now.
White Sox are 27-88.
Oh, no. I was saying, what's the losing streak record?
Oh, 21.
Oh, it is 21?
Yes.
So, like, the all-time record is 21.
Sorry, all time. Okay, hold on.
Oh, my bad. Okay, my bad. I probably should have phrased that question a little bit better. I saw it the other day in an article.
There we go. The 1961 Philadelphia Phillies at 23 losses.
Okay, so 23 is the record.
So if they lose the rest of the games in this series, then they will now host the all-time record for a losing streak, which at this point,
why not?
Might as well go ahead and do it. Again, it's not impressively good, but it's impressive nonetheless.
I saw something that said if you had started with, and you and I may have talked about this, started with $100 and you bet on the White Sox to start losing at the beginning of the streak and you rolled it over every game, you'd be in triple figure or in six figures.
Oh my gosh.
Like you'd be over $100,000. Now that's rolling it over. Okay. Yeah. So you take your 100, you win, let's say 200, you roll the 200 over and you continue to do that. Yeah. You'd be over $100,000.
And now at this point, if you're betting on the White Sox to lose, it's like -320.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You're not making any money.
$111.
No, yeah. You're not making, of course, for entertainment purposes only. I mean, the White Sox today are +185 against Oakland, who's 20 games under 500. Give me a break. That's unbelievable.
Over under 4.5 for that game. Just kidding. The Athletics can score. They
yeah, they can.
Brent Rooker, one of our favorite
Brent Rooker.
Guys.
Oh, Brent Rooker.
For
if you don't know the
side of baseball,
if you don't know the story about Brent Rooker and why we think that's hilarious, then do some research, man. You'll have to dig, but it's hilarious. It is. Really, really funny. I know, again, before you get out of here, Braves 60-51, got the Brewers right now, have seemed to I mean, try to figure this thing out. I mean, they dropped their last couple against the Marlins. They had gotten on a little bit of a streak there, and here we go again. It's just, can the Braves turn it on? Can they get it going down the stretch?
It feels like it's right now. Can the Braves beat the Braves? The story is always you have to beat the teams that you should beat, and then if you can take two of three or three of four or even split a couple of the series against the very good teams, then you put yourself in a very, very good situation later in the season. The Braves, I believe, had the 28th or the 29th. Might have been early 20s, but I believe it was up there. Of the easiest remaining schedules post All-Star break.
Yeah, it was up there.
And I believe it was. It was the Braves were like the 28th and the Phillies were the 22nd or something like that. But it was one of those things to where you were 9.5 back at the All-Star break. You're really feeling like, okay, maybe some things can get turned around. You are sitting at 5.5 back right now, and you still have 12 games left with the Phillies. So there are still a whole lot that can be taken out of those games. Jorge Soler is starting to deliver, starting to feel comfortable back in the Atlanta jersey. Hit a game-tying RBI single in the eighth inning to defeat the Marlins in game two, I believe. And so you're really hoping that a couple of those guys can get back on the right track. You're really hoping a couple guys that are coming back off the IL. Max Fried didn't have the start he was hoping for on Sunday, but as a Braves fan, it feels good just to see him back on the mound. Mm-hmm. You know that after a start or two, he'll get back to being the regular Max Fried that you expect from that lefty ace. If you can start getting a couple of those guys back, Michael Harris II as well, to where it feels like it felt like you traded for those guys, and you can hit one of those post-All-Star or the post-trade deadline runs that you hit in 2021. I feel like you're in good shape, but right now it just feels like they're leaving certain games on the table, unable to take care of business against the teams that they should. You're really hoping they can get a couple back against the Brewers here this week.
My man, I know you got to get out of here. Go get to work, get that paycheck. Appreciate you joining me. Christian Griffin, he's with me on Tuesdays. Will be with us most Fridays, including this Friday. He will be sitting in for Uncle T-Bone, so we'll see you on Friday, my man.
See you, brother.
All right, we'll take our final break, come back. I'll wrap it up, you and me, before Bill and Dan take over for the drive. That's all here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate you all being with us today, man. It's been a fun, chaotic show, man. It's just how it goes around here sometimes. And we appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. If you missed any of the show, you can catch up with it later on today at ESPNAU.com. We had a lot. Christian Griffin joined me in the studio, and a reminder that he is your new voice of the Lee Scott Warriors. Yes, as we are less than 3 weeks away from the start of the high school football season. This Friday will be 2 weeks. There is so much to do between now and then, and I'm sure the coaches of these two programs that we cover would tell you the same thing, Buster Daniel at Lee Scott and Coach Keith Etheridge at Auburn High. But Christian is your new voice of Lee Scott, and he is joining me in the studio on Tuesdays now. He will be with us Tuesdays and then a lot of Fridays as well. So keep that in mind just to come in and help me out a little bit. And look, we have a good time, and hopefully you are enjoying that as well. And so we had some Auburn fall camp talk earlier in the show. We've talked a lot of recruiting things today as well with the news from On3 that they have changed their predictions to Deuce Knight flipping from Notre Dame to Auburn. It has not happened yet, okay? That has not happened. There is no official news there. They've just kind of changed their predictions and things like that and their feelings on that situation. So a lot of talk there. Had some basketball talk today, and then Christian gave you a quick rundown of the Atlanta Braves since we were not able to have Lindsey Crosby with us for our Baseball Power Hour. We will pick that back up next week. Here's what's coming up the rest of the week, what you can kind of anticipate and get ready for. Tomorrow, we will get some updates from Athens. We'll talk to Jordan Hill about fall camp updates for the Georgia Bulldogs. Also talk about Ra-Ra Thomas, who was released from the team. I don't think I've had the chance to talk to him about that just yet, so we'll get his thoughts on that. Plus, tomorrow is Wednesday, which means it's Double D Wednesday. Daryl Dapperich, remember, he's no longer with us on Tuesdays. He's with us on Wednesdays from 3:15 to 3:45. So we'll get his thoughts from fall practice, recruiting updates, maybe some basketball things, and just kind of how Daryl is feeling as we get closer and closer to the start of the Auburn football season. So that'll be tomorrow, Wednesday, all right? You'll also have on Thursday, Brad Law will be back. He'll be joining us on the phone lines at 2:30. That will get started again this season. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network at 2:30 on Thursday. Chris Gordy from Locked On SEC will be with us at 3:30 on Thursday. And then Friday, it's me and Christian again. No T-Bone. He is out of town for work on Friday. So Christian will be in this chair in the studio with us. And a free-for-all Friday where I have a feeling that we're going to get into the conference realignment stuff. Something that we have been sort of teasing for a while, and I think it's a good idea before the season gets going again for college football. I think we all just need a refresher. I think we all just need a little bit of a reminder of which teams are where and why. Right? Because there's been so much movement and so many changes have been made around the college athletics landscape. And one of the biggest ones being teams that are competing in different conferences now. I mean, the Cals of the world that are no longer in a Pac-12 that doesn't exist, they're competing in the ACC, or Colorado in the Big 12, or, you know, just changes like that that I feel we all could just use a little bit of a refresher on. So I think we're going to do some of that on Friday and maybe even dip into the player side of that as well for some of the biggest names in college football. And I'm going to be really honest with you. It's going to be a lot of this for you, the fans and the listeners. A lot of it's going to be for me too, because there's been so much I've forgotten about some, and it's hard to keep up with all of that sometimes. And so we're probably going to have some of that for you on Friday, and you just never know what news is going to break between now and then. And so going to be a fun week. Again, appreciate you all being with us. It'll be tomorrow, Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 and Daryl Dapperich from Locked On Auburn and Auburn Daily. So a stacked show once again. You can catch that 2-4 right here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Christian Griffin for joining me in the studio. Thanks to you for listening all show long. And we'll be back tomorrow right here, 2-4 on ESPN. Shout out the Orthopedic Clinic for sponsoring the second hour of the show each and every day. Check them out at theorthoclinic.com. All right, I'm done. I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Until then, stay safe. I'll talk to you later.